Beatlemania is heading for Prague in the form of a new exhibition recalling what the Fab Four meant for young people growing up under communism. Brno is to get a major new tourist attraction and find out about a man who gets a kick from collecting tractors. Of course, it's time for Magazine with Daniela Lazarova.
Beatlemania is back with a vengeance. An exhibition at Prague's National Museum will show some of the most treasured memorabilia of the Fab Four, articles never before seen in the Czech Republic, from original Madame Tussaud waxworks to George Harrison's gold-plated banjolele. The exhibits are being lent by the Beatles Story visitor attraction within a tourism drive to attract more visitors to Liverpool. But in the Czech Republic, the exhibition will acquire a whole new dimension, exploring the impact of the Beatles, and John Lennon in particular, on Prague's youth culture, the underground music scene, and the life of a generation stifled by communist restrictions. The museum has appealed to the public to contribute to the exhibition's success by lending any treasured personal articles they may have, illegally exchanged Beatles recordings, handwritten copies of the lyrics, homemade Beatlemania wear, John Lennon glasses, called Lennonky in Czech, and dog-eared articles about the group smuggled to Czechoslovakia from behind the Iron Curtain. One thing the organisers are not worried about is attendance. Czechs will crowd to see this exhibition. The Beatles never actually visited Prague, but they were a liberating phenomenon which the Iron Curtain failed to hold back. The exhibition will run from June through January of 2011. Something else that Czechs who remember the communist years get nostalgic about is Stetson hats. The Stetson is a fashion icon, but for Czechs, they were for many decades also a symbol of freedom, the land of opportunity, and for the most part, something totally out of reach. Singers who could travel, albeit under strict supervision, spent their whole diets on one, brought it back, and flaunted it among friends. Today, the Stetson is produced much closer to home, by the firm Tonak in the town of Novičín, which paradoxically exports some of them to the United States, tailored to perfection, one must admit. But for most Czechs, a Stetson is not worth investing in unless it's American through and through, ideally bought in person on a trip to the States. The Moravian metropolis of Brno is about to get a new tourist attraction. Workmen are digging the foundations for an obelisk-shaped clock on the town's main square. The clock is to be made of a rare type of granite imported from South Africa, and the clock itself will be sculpted by Italian master cutters in Verona. The clock will be 6 meters in height and close to 2 meters wide. Local patriots say it is sure to outshine the astronomical clock on Prague's Old Town Square. When it announced a competition for the clock, the Brno City Hall laid down one important condition. It must chime midday an hour early at 11 a.m. That's because popular legend has it that in the 17th century, the defenders of Brno tricked the invading Swedes by putting forward the town clock by 1 hour, and the city was not taken as a result. The Swedish general reportedly spread word that if his men did not capture the city by midday, they would leave. At the height of combat, the town mayor ordered the clock to chime an hour early, and the Swedes left. The present-day clock owes even more to legend. The Swedish general, General Torstensson, is reported to have said that the only bullet which could kill him would be one made of glass. In his memory, every day at 11 a.m. when the clock chimes midday, a small glass marble will roll out from one of the openings at the base of the clock. The person who is nearest that opening will be able to take it away as a souvenir.
Hello.
Collecting tractors from around the world is not an easy hobby to maintain, and it's a fairly expensive one. But 55-year-old Jiří Jedek from North Bohemia has been a dedicated collector for 22 years. The result is 30 tractors in his backyard, all of them mobile, though none of them anything most drivers would want to be seen in on the road. Jiří Jedek insists, though, that they are all beauties. His favorite piece is an American John Deere from the 1920s. His holidays are all spent in search of new acquisitions, and when he recently visited the John Deere Tractor Museum in the United States, he was delighted to see that even the Deere company did not have his particular veteran on display. He dreams of one day opening a tractor museum of his own and is always happy to show visitors around if they're interested. Many of them are foreigners, and Mr. Jedek has had many a good offer for one of his tractors. However, that is a point he is firm about. There is no question of selling, though he might be tempted to barter trade if you arrive on a tractor that he finds irresistible. So if there is one cluttering your backyard, spruce it up before you set off. The Economist recently amused its readers by redrawing the map of Europe. People who find their neighbours tiresome can move to another neighbourhood, whereas countries can't, the Economist wrote. But suppose they could, rejigging the map of Europe would make life more logical and friendlier. Thanks to Belgium's incomprehensible Flemish-French language squabbles, which the magazine said were redolent of Central Europe at its worst, Belgium was made to swap places with the Czech Republic on the argument that the stolid, well-organized Czechs would get on splendidly with their new Dutch neighbors. The Czechs, now bordering on the Netherlands, Germany and France, were happy to overlook the somewhat stuffy description of themselves. Having always longed for a seacoast, the majority of Czechs polled by the IDNES news site welcomed the exchange with an enthusiastic thumbs up. Just as an afterthought, did the Economist really say well-organized Czechs? Never mind, whatever gets us there.